Our reading for today is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The word of God for the people of God.
Friends, I've got a whole lot of sermon in a short amount of time, so would you bow your heads and pray for me for just a moment? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you, and I pray that you would work in the lives of those who listen, and that it would be a blessing to them in Christ's name. Amen. I'm so excited about this message, and it's not just because I get to use a whiteboard, but that is definitely part of the reason. So this is a church, this is a service and a sermon about being authentic. What does it mean to be an authentic Christian? And we've got a lot of things in our world that aren't real, right, that come into us. We get, you know, you've gotten those emails that somebody's going to give you $1 million, and all you have to do is send them your bank account, and somebody, and your grandchild is in a jail cell somewhere that you didn't know your grandchild was out of the country, and if you just send $10,000, you can get them out, and you get the email. I got an email. Church in England wants to send me to come preach. Does this sound like a good deal? Honestly, I almost bid on this one. I wanted that so bad. I wanted to say, and they're just like, and all you have to do is send us a little information. I thought, oh, I see what you're doing, you sneaky, sneaky people. It's just, it's not real. It's not real. Inauthentic. You know, the greatest art heist, or not heist, but forgery scheme in England, in Great Britain, was in part led by a guy named John Myatt, M-Y-A-T-T. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He's a great artist, and he can forge things really, really well. And they sold $20 million worth of this stuff. And he went to jail for a period of time. And when he got out of jail, he found a way to make an honest living. He forges art, and you tell him what you want him to forge, and it's called his genuine forgery line, genuine fakes. So apparently you can be inauthentic as long as you say, I'm definitely being inauthentic, but it's genuine to that. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense, but you can do it. You can do it that way as long as you're out in the open about it. What's real? What's fake? What's authentic? I know a guy in our church who I think is authentic as a Christian. I've been watching him for years. There was a time when he self-describes, and he says, there was a time when I was sort of a nominal Christian, name-only Christian. And he said, we hit that period of life, my wife and I did, when we were moving a lot with work, and we sort of fell out of the church, and our kids fell out of the church, and then they came back to this community. When they resettled here, they jumped in, they've been all in ever since. And I've just watched him grow. He's always been a really nice guy. He's always been a super nice guy. But I've watched him grow in the depth of his faith. He serves. He shows up when people really need him, when they're really sick, or when something really hard is going on. And he'll stay with those people no matter what's going on. I've watched him do it. Every so often he calls me and says, you need to get over here. But he's there. I've watched him grow in wisdom, seriousness. There's a depth. You know what I'm talking about when you see somebody who's got a depth of faith? And so when he enters a meeting at the church, he brings wisdom and he brings a maturity. And he has expectations for us that are based on the scripture about what church can be. And you know what he wants? He wants an authentic experience of church. But he's not demanding. He's not like judging. He just steps in and brings that because his faith is authentic and he will serve. If that includes perspiration, if that includes commitment of time, he's all in. And I just, don't you treasure people like that, don't you? I mean, I know I do, and I learn from them. Because we're all growing in our authenticity, and so is the guy I just named. So is the guy I just described. He's growing in his, we're growing in ours. But isn't it what we want? Isn't it what you want, that over time your faith would be more authentic than it was a few years ago? You'd be deeper and wiser and more mature, and you'd be more courageous because of the love of Christ growing in your life. I think that's what all of us want. And yet, that's super hard to get. The early church in the book of Acts, as Luke describes it, starts with a movement of sharing Jesus with people. And today, the disciples in Jerusalem went up to Antioch. There's a map right here. You see where Antioch is on the far right, on the middle of the screen. And then look down at the bottom right corner. There's Jerusalem. They traveled all that way. Why did they go to Antioch? Because it was a city in the first century of about 500,000 people. We know that because it has a Roman hippodrome that holds 80,000 people. And the Romans were tremendous civic planners, and they did a ratio of the size of the Colosseum to the size of the population. And so they went all the way up there. That was on the Silk Road that the Chinese created. That was on the Royal Road that the Persians created. And it was a big center. And they thought, that's an opportunity for us. We're going to share Christ. And some shared the love of Christ with the Gentiles, not just the Jewish people, but the Gentile people who had no background in their religion. Those Gentiles lived the way the Romans lived. It was about power. It was about wealth. It was about getting more for you. Those were the values of the society. And you went and went to multiple gods to get multiple things, but your religion was about your getting, not your giving. And the early church went and shared the good news of Christ with these people. And we find in verse 20, which Colin just read, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, meaning the Gentiles, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a what? A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And isn't that good news? They held a revival, they had an event, and they shared Christ with other people who were like, I'm in for what you're describing. And you know what? Taking that first step, that's hard. But it's just the first step. Because you know what my experience has been? Initial belief is a lot easier than sustaining belief. It's one thing to say, I want to join the church. It's another to really do it, to really become an authentic Christian. And so the question that the early church had is, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Because suddenly they had a lot of believers, and so they went back down to Jerusalem and said, hey, it's been really successful. And the disciples who were in Jerusalem went, wow, we've got to help these people grow. We've got to help these people grow because they're Greeks. We've got to give them everything. They're starting from zero. Now, what does it mean to become an authentic Christian? I've been reading a book by Richard Rohr. He's a Franciscan priest. R-O-H-R is the author's name. It's called The Immortal Diamond. I knew diamond. I couldn't get immortal. The Immortal Diamond. Yes, thank you. I wasn't clicking at Reverend Minor. I was not remembering, so just don't want that misinterpreted. I don't want anybody to misinterpret that. Richard Rohr talks about what is it that you're trying to do as you grow in authenticity to become an authentic Christian. Not, those are my words, not his. He said, well, the first thing is we have to remember we were created in the image of God. The Imago Dei. Can you say that? Imago Dei. You just learned two Latin words that have been around the church for like a couple thousand years. It means that God is good and God created you. And you are good. You are created in God's goodness. Some of you are parents and you're like, you don't know my kid. But it's not true. They were created in God's goodness. And you actually, when you're a parent, especially of young children, it's when we usually notice it the most. Now, what happens is that over time, some things begin to deeply influence your life. One is your family. Some of us have better, more functional families, and some of us have less functional families. Is that generally true? Anybody, raise your hand if you've got a perfect family. Wow, I got one guy who's, that's good. We got to talk about that later. There's some disagreement on the pew, but nonetheless. The point is, we all have more and less functional families. I feel like I hit the family jackpot. My parents were so good to us, and I'm so grateful, but can I just say something about the family I grew up in? It's not perfect. You learn habits here. And then you also have your society, and our society gives us a lot of junk. Oh, it gives us ways of looking at other people that may be false and negative. It pits one person against another. We hold biases and bigotries and all sorts of things. And then after that, by the way, I made notes. They're in my pocket. Notice how cleverly I'm pulling them out. You can barely notice. And then the other thing is we have, there are other things that influence. I don't have any time, so let's just do this. And from that, we get esteem issues. What are esteem issues? Esteem issues are things like, I don't look good enough. Another thing might be, I'm not smart enough. And by the way, all this, these have not in front of them. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not, whatever. And then the last one is I'm not good enough. And good enough, all these have not in front and enough behind. And this stuff comes from here and here and other things. Because another thing that's beginning to affect us up here is sin. And sin is just the junk I have in my life, predilections to do deceitful and dysfunctional things. Lying, cheating, stealing. And so out of all these things, we have these sin issues over here, and that's what I was saying. That's like a lie, I gossip. This is like a group of people at the Fox Mill pool talking about whoever isn't there. Gossip, gossip, gossip. No offense to any pool, all the pools. Sorry, shouldn't have said Fox Mill. It's just I drive home past it every day. Sorry about that. That's going to be one of my deep regrets later. I'll pray about that. Because I really don't have examples. Lest you're wondering if I'm talking about you, because people come up afterwards and they say they do. Okay, anyway, you get the idea. Do you have the idea here? Right, okay. So the esteem issues and the sin issues, what comes out of this? This false self, this is our false self. That's what Rohr calls it, also uses the word ego. It's ego, false self, junk. And what arises out of that is if you do this enough of it, this is where all of your insecurity is, right? And it's also where your dysfunction is. So this is the product that comes out of that. The dysfunction of your life is all here. And this is why most of us want to be in control. I want more control of me, and frankly, I'd like control of all of you too, every single one of you. Why? Because that's what my insecurity does, that's what my dysfunction does, and it's all coming out of this stuff, and I could spend 2 hours on this, and I've got like 10 minutes, so if it's not complete, that's why. But here's the deal, and if you read Ephesians 4, I'm going to read Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul, who ministered to the Gentiles, people like you and me, he said, all that's got to die. It has to die to you. And so the cross, see the cross up here? We look at that and we say, oh, thank goodness Jesus died for our sins. But the cross is there to remind you that these things have to die in us if we're going to have an authentic faith. And they have to die one by one, and it is hard, lifelong work. But you can do it because God's going to help you. The Lord's going to help you. And if these things are allowed to be put on the cross and to die, it makes all the difference. And it's letting go. What has to die? The sense of control. I'm always in control. And then what has to arise is my life in Christ. And I know I'm writing too small now, but it's okay. You'll get it. My life in Christ. And I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. But in Ephesians 4, Paul puts it this way. he's talking to these Gentiles, and he goes, look, I know you had all the Roman values, all the Greek values. I just finished a book on Alexander the Great, amazing military strategist. Wow, was that really one crazily dysfunctional human being? Right? I mean, it's that, because why? The value system was just all about me, more, never enough, never settled, never at peace. Paul says, that's not the way of life you learned. Meaning, when you came into the Christian faith. That's not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and you were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And see, this is false self, but over here is your true self. And this is in the scripture. Put that text back up. I want to show them that. Please. The Bible text. When you were taught in Him with the truth, can you go back a slide? With a truth that is in Jesus. See that? There's a false self and there's a true thing. And then now go to that next slide. Thank you. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to what? Read it with me. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. See, it started good up here, but it gets corrupted, and then you can be made what? New in the attitudes of your mind, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so the pattern is this. There is life that is good. There has got to be a death of the false self and the ego. And then I know my wondrous ability as an artist. Anybody know what that is? That's an empty tomb with a stone that's been rolled. Isn't it good? Come on, you're a little dazzled, aren't you? That's my false self talking. It's okay. Yeah. And so there's got to be life, and then there's got to be death, and then there's got to be a resurrection. And we talk about that in the life of Jesus, but you and I have to go through the same cycle. The same cycle of life, death, and resurrection. And many of us are never going to get to resurrection, and we're never going to have that deep authenticity. Why? Because we're still living in here, and we're still doing all this junk. And we can be created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You can be authentic. We can do it. And it's such a powerful thing. And I want to read another section of this same section in Ephesians 4. You might go home and read that. Therefore, each of you must put off the falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. So over here, a common behavior over here is to lie, but over here, it's truth. It's speaking the truth, and it's not putting up with other people's lies. Not lowering the standard based on who's doing the talking. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body, and in your anger, don't sin. I struggle with that one a little bit. Anybody else? Sometimes, when I get angry, it's hard for me. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing should what? No longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And so the cross is central to Christianity, because that stuff has to die so that this new stuff can live. And then we might ask, what's the new stuff? Well, again, Ephesians 4 is really helpful. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. That's over here, along with every form of malice, and be kind and be compassionate. You can put that back up on the screen. I'm really giving the people in the booth a workout today. Be kind and be compassionate and forgive. Forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. And can I tell you something? People are looking at our lives to notice if they're authentic. And if you tell your friends, your unchurched friends, the ones that don't have a faith in Christ, they just did, for whatever reason, they don't have it. Maybe they left it. Maybe they never had it to begin with. When you say to them, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church, you know what? Somebody did me wrong and I'm never going to forgive them. Even though they've not been trained in the scripture, they know something's wrong. When the principal stands up and says, I really need your help, when people sign up, the principal knows there's something going on at that church. And when people don't sign up, she properly would know, They talk about compassion, and they talk about kindness, and they talk about servanthood. Huh. Doesn't make her judgmental. Any more than I'm judgmental or you're judgmental, but we have to see things as they really are. And friends, if we want to get to this side of the equation, the question is how? How are we going to allow the death of the old self, the false self, the ego, and now the resurrection of the true self? Because see, all that's happening here is the cycle is coming back here. Do you see how that works? That's your lifetime. This is authenticity. So it's interesting, in the early church, they went and they shared all this. And it says when it happened, the great new membership drive in Antioch went well, they went back down to Jerusalem. And the scripture says in Jerusalem, they said, send Barnabas. And Barnabas went up, and the scripture says he was glad and encouraged them to remain true. So Barnabas, it would be like Barnabas walking in to this setting. Of course, they didn't have a building like this, but he would walk up in front of the congregation and goes, hey, I want to encourage everybody, remain true to the Lord with all your hearts. Everybody, can you all do that? Everybody remain true. And then he looked at them, he thought, oh my goodness, they don't even know the way of Jesus. What am I going to do? Because you know what? You can talk about do this, do this, do this, but people have to learn and people have to engage in a way of life that changes things. So look at this next text. Barnabas went to Tarsus, that's another city, to look for Saul. Anybody remember Saul's name after he was converted? Paul. That's the guy that wrote Ephesians. So the fourth chapter of Ephesians, read that. And when he found him, Barnabas brought Saul to Antioch, and for a whole what? Year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and what? Taught great numbers of people. And here's what I think they did. I think they said, you're going to be a leader, and you're all going to be leaders. You're going to be leaders. You're going to be leaders. And he pulled them together, and I think they probably spent more of their time there, but they also, I think, got people together to say, we can teach you about the way of Jesus. Here's the teaching of Jesus. Here's what we've experienced. Here's what the early church, the disciples have told us. By the way, to the extent that they could teach the Old Testament, what we would call Old Testament Hebrew scripture, they probably did that, but they didn't have books, so that was hard. It was the teaching. That's where the people learn the way. And if you want to move from a first time, I like this Christianity thing, I want to be committed to it, to a pathway of sanctification and discipleship, you have to spend the time. It's not magic fairy dust that we sprinkle on you people. Oh, I love Jesus. Friends, this world is way too complicated to make a one-time commitment and to think that's going to transform your life forever. The Christian way is something you step into, you learn, you walk in, and you have to find community. So today, out and to the left, we've set up our life groups, and I'm inviting you to join one. I'm going to invite you to join one for two reasons. Number one reason, content knowledge. You cannot live a life if you've never, this life, unless you've actually studied the Bible and opened it, and not just opened it and said, I read that book, but actually studied it and asked, how do I actually do this? Content knowledge. Second, and by the way, the content knowledge, the highest thing that we can help you find in a life group is a relationship with Jesus Christ that's real, that affects your decision-making, affects your priorities of you and your family. Second thing, community. I want you to just find a small community. I'm in a life group, and you know why I love it? I love it because I hear the guys in my group will sometimes talk about all this, and they'll say, hey, I'm over here struggling a little bit. Here's how I'm struggling a little bit. And it's not a therapy group, but when you study the scripture, this kind of thing, why? People want it to be authentic, so this is what they think about. And then when they describe their life, I'm like, sometimes I let the sun go down on my anger too. Sometimes it's hard for me to forgive too. And then it brings us over to this new true self where I say, wow, if he can be kind, I can too. If he can learn to shut his mouth at the right moments, I can too. If he can learn to love his wife well, I can too. If he's paying attention to his kids, I can too. And we get on this side of the equation, and I'll tell you something, my true self is more present when I'm in community. Not just for the moment, but for the reflection in the week that happens thereafter. I want you to go find a life group today and not make an excuse. I'm going to say something out loud I probably shouldn't say. I got a lot of excuse making from Christians right now. If I hear one of you say, I'm not ready one more time, I swear my head's going to blow off my shoulders. Hey, today's the day, now's the time, now's the season. Your life is picking back up, and now's the time. It's time to put the disciplines in your life that lead to the life you want. It's not because I want big numbers on anything. It's because what I want you to look back on this time in your life and say is, thank God for that church. Thank God I was a part of that church because they pushed me. And boy, the pastor was the pushiest of all. They pushed me to find a group where I might grow as a disciple. And if that group's not out there, talk to Bill Gray. We will help you create it or find it. Those of you online, we can help you find it online, but you can also come in person. Now is the time. 4 minutes over, but I did it. Amen? That's it. Hey, everybody, when you leave today, you're going out and to the left. You're not going to just rush out to your car. Because if you do that, the Holy Spirit's going to go, Wow, you're doing that. And then you're going to feel bad about that all day. You have to carry that with you. It's not because I guilted you. It's because the Lord is going to speak to you about it. Today, you're going over to the left. You're going to take about 5-10 minutes. That's all you need. And you're going to do that. And you're not that important that you can't do it. Right? Amen? Why? Because your true self already knows what I'm saying is true. And it wants to get out. So let's.